To Romans 12, we're continuing in our study of the book of Romans, and we're in a section that's dealing with getting along with people. Is probably not stating it strongly enough. We're in a section that's dealing with how, as followers of Christ, we are reflecting our identity to the world in our humility, in our service, and in our forgiveness. And so, we looked at last week's sections how. In looking at the church as the body of Christ, you know, we have humility at the beginning of that section, and humility at the end of that section, and in the middle, it's about how do we view ourselves and how do we view other people. And to me, the most important issue that's related to that is the fact that in Christ, people have a new identity, right? That our identity is as the body of Christ. And so since our identity is the body of Christ, that's a corporate identity. It's not, I'm not the body of Christ, and you're not the body of Christ, right? We together, and actually more broadly than that, you know, outside the walls, all believers are the body of Christ. And if you view yourselves that way, then what that does is it has a profound impact on how we manage our relationships. Because if you're part of the body of Christ, then I have to honor you in that, whether I feel like it or not, right? Because that's your identity. That's an incredible identity. I'm a part of the body of Christ, whether or not you like what I'm doing. You know, I'm a part of the body of Christ. You have to honor that, right? Because it's Christ's body. And so Paul is moving away from that a little bit this week as he's going to talk about the problem of evil. And because, I mean, we have this setup, right? Maintain your relationships with humility, recognize your own identity and other people's identity in Christ. And by the way, there's other alternatives, right? Other than to be in Christ. Like you could be a Roman citizen, you could be a Jew, all right? Negatively, you could be a slave. Right? You don't have to be any of those things, or you could be a citizen somewhere else. But those are all issues of identity. And so here, he moves away from that and starts talking about the issue of evil, where when you get these groups, when they start reacting to each other, right? I'm a Jew, you're a Christian, we're in disagreement. I'm a Roman citizen, you're not, we're in a disagreement, right? I'm a pagan, you're a Christian, we don't agree on how we view the world. And there's conflict there. Right? This is tribalism, right? And conflict comes from tribalism. This is the story of human history. And so then, how are we supposed to react to that conflict? And that's the thing that Paul is getting at this week in our passage of Scripture. Beginning with verse 17 and reading to verse 21, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." That's a quote from the book of Proverbs. Then he says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." All right, the first thing that I want to look at is the problem of evil treatment. And this is a problem, I think, because of what we expect to happen in life. What should we expect to happen in our lives? As followers of Christ, right, we would expect that the God of the universe delights to bless us, and we would expect that our lives would reflect that blessing. That would be my expectation for my life, and it'd be my expectation for your life. And then things happen in our lives that we wouldn't necessarily define as blessing, right? We have difficulties that arise. We have poor treatment. And that sense of disappointment, that sense of unmet expectation will oftentimes give rise to a very strong negative response, usually out of anger, sometimes out of fear, but whatever it is, you know, how are we supposed to deal with those things? You know, what should we expect in life? If we expect for people to behave well all the time, we're going to be disappointed. Not everybody defines themselves as a follower of Christ, obviously, right? And we've got this huge cultural movement right now to think about, you know, identity and identity politics and who are we and how do we define ourselves. And I can tell you that the best place to define yourself is in Christ. And it's not a place of weakness, and it's not a place of looking at your difficulties or the ways that you're persecuted, although you may be. It's a way of looking at how God has taken individuals who are fallen, right, and place them back into his covenant relationship and given them the benefit of being seen as Christ. So it's this is the best place to find ourselves. You know, this question of expectation is the same. This is a very old question. I think about the book of Job. You know, and in the book of Job, the thing that's so remarkable, the most remarkable thing about the book of Job is what God says about Job's character. Here's the guy who's the most righteous man on the face of the earth. Now that's quite a statement. Right? And then there's a conversation between God and Satan where Satan basically accuses Job's righteousness of being a result of God blessing him. Right? And so God says, okay, you can take it away. And you get to the end of chapter 2 after two separate incidences where Job is now suffering terribly. He's lost his family, he's lost his property, he's lost his health, right? Primary blessings of life. And God says to Satan, you've caused me to ruin him for no good reason, which is a terrible statement. You know, it's a terrible, terrible statement. But in our own lives, you know, we bop along and we think, well, everything's going to be great because God's blessing me. And most of the time, that's absolutely true. And then things pop up and you go, whoa, where'd that come from? And a lot of times it comes from bad behavior from other people. Right? And that's very difficult to deal with. It's very difficult to deal with because what do we want to do in response to that? Right? Because what we want to do in response to that is give it back. You're going to treat me this way? Let me give you some of that back. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to follow an eye for an eye. What I would like to follow is your head for my eye. That's what I would like to do. Right? You're going to give me a hand grenade, I'm going to give you a nuclear bomb. Right? And I'll plot and I'll wait. And I'll find a time, right? And those are kinds of things that I think about. I hope you don't think that way. But it's not good, right? It's not God's will. And so, you know, what should we expect? And so let's lower our expectations, or let's expect that at times we're going to deal with people treating us in an evil manner, and not just when we're driving in traffic and somebody cuts us off and slows down so we can't make the light, right? That's pretty low-grade evil, but I still consider that to be evil. These are the kinds of things that bother me. Okay, so when people treat us in a manner that we don't like, right? That's what we're talking about, I think. Right? So what should we do? And this passage has several different things he says to do, right? He says, be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Live at peace as much as it's possible with you. Don't take revenge. Overcome evil with good. These are all great things to do. And all those things, by the way, don't focus on the other person. And so God calls us to focus on our own behavior when we're in situations like this. Right? So think about our own behavior. We're called to reflect the love and mercy of God regardless of the way that those around us are acting. And that's hard. Right? But when we're doing these things that are hard, what we're doing there is we're getting a good spiritual workout. And so we should expect, I would say, you should expect to have to do this, right? You should expect to have to deal with somebody's bad behavior in your life. And it might start as close as, you know, your spouse, inside your family more broadly, at work, wherever you're around people, right? This is where you might find that you're going to have trouble with people. And so expect that, right? And focus on your own behavior. And then the last thing that I'd want to say is consider the teachings and the example of Jesus as it relates to this issue. No one deserved to be treated better than Jesus, correct? No one deserved to be treated better than Jesus. Was Jesus treated poorly? Okay, obviously, right? By whom was he treated poorly? Was he treated poorly by his family? Yes, he was treated poorly by his family. Was he treated poorly by his friends? Yes, one of his friends sold him out for 30 pieces of silver to the Jewish authorities, and he was crucified as a result of that. Was he treated poorly by his culture? Yes, by his culture, both religious and political. Right? All the people and all the things that were in his life that were meant to nurture him, right, treated him poorly. What was the impact of Jesus not repaying evil for evil? Well, it's salvation, it's grace, it's mercy, right? It's God's life extended to others. And so that's what we should expect as well. Consider the teaching and example of Jesus as it relates to the problem of evil treatment. Okay, the next thing that I want to point out in this passage of Scripture is verse 19, and that is leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God's wrath. This is an interesting statement to me. What this means basically in life is that we're not allowed revenge. Revenge is not allowed to us in the kingdom of God. Why would we want to exact revenge on others? Well, because they deserve it. Now, I would like to start this, and I would like for you to think about this idea of revenge and put it out in just as broad a perspective as possible, right? Because I was thinking about revenge. What about revenge within families? What about there? Well, what would we want to exact revenge on within families? Well, growing up, you'd want to exact revenge on your siblings, for sure, right? Why? Well, because of their poor treatment, right? That's where I would think you'd start. And then, I want you to think about this for a minute. Or within your marriage, right? When would I exact revenge in my marriage? Because most of the time when you think about stuff like this, right, you're thinking about great big picture issues, and most of the time we're not dealing with that. But think about this. Your spouse does something, hurts your feelings, right? What's your initial reflexive response? And I would say oftentimes it's revenge, right? You hurt me, I hurt you. You hurt me, I withdraw love, right? I pull back. This is normal human behavior, right? This is not allowed to us in Christ. Don't do this. Do not do this, right? Do not exact revenge. Do not exact revenge. You're not allowed it. Don't do it when you're driving your car. That's one of the things I thought about, you know, when I'm driving my car. It's not so much that when you're driving your car, you're going to run somebody over. What it does is it causes you to pull back from people in general and to think people are evil, people are horrible, and we start defining people in that sense. How does God define people? Created in my image, incredible potential, incredible possibility, right? Which one of these reflects the mercy and the grace of God? And so we're not allowed revenge. Don't do it, right? Don't do it. The second thing that I would say about this is that God will avenge what is needed to be avenged. That's an interesting statement. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That is a very interesting statement. Very interesting for two different perspectives. One is that God says that vengeance is his purview. If anybody's going to exact revenge or vengeance, it's going to be God and not us. Okay? Secondly, he says, I will repay. Oh, golly, you know, and I'll cover both these at the same time, right? God will avenge what's needed to be revenged, and he says, I will repay. James 1 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Which doesn't mean be slow to anger and then when you get angry, just, you know, lay waste to the earth either. Well, I was slow to get there, but once I got there, boy, it was great. I loved that, right? No, you know what he's saying. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I was thinking about this. Quick to listen and slow to speak. This is the opposite of the evening news in our day. You know, quick to judge, move on to the next topic. Quick to judge, move on to the next topic. And if you don't recognize that, I think it's easy to pick that up. I think our culture is full